1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad.
With Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song
Salad. I'm Shannon.
Oh my God. Welcome to an assault on your ears.
Sorry.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're Shannon and Scott. We're getting better.
Wow.
Are we?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Wow. What's a song salad?
Oh, we're going right for it.
You know what? I demand efficiency.
Yeah. Well, we're really bad at small talk at the top of our show. We're both just like, what's going on? I don't know. I'm like, I got a haircut, though.
Hey, great.
Did you notice my haircut?
Useful for radio.
You could have complimented it, and then people would have known I had a haircut.
Nice.
Dang it.
Nice haircut, Shannon.
Thanks, Scott.
Do you agree, listeners? Tweet at us.
At Song Salad Cast. Tell me if you like my haircut. Assuage my vanity. Song Salad is a random topic from the Wikipedia random article button. And then we write a song about that topic in the randomly generated style from moodfuse.com. And we do it really fast.
And really well.
Well.
Hopefully.
Debatable. That's a song salad.
I think we do have some small talk to talk about, though. Like,
we do.
We've had a lot of good, interaction with our fans online. I'm really happy with all of the activity we had on Twitter and on the ratings and reviews we've had on iTunes. So I really appreciate that. Thanks, everyone, for reaching out and conversing with us. We love talking with you.
Yeah. So rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Twitter at Song Salad Cast. We really appreciate it. And next week...
Drum roll, please. I'll actually put a drum roll in here. Here we go. You're hearing it at home. Shannon's not right now.
We're going to have our first musical guest-spert on...
Guestpert. I love that.
Yeah.
and I'm also going to play a little fanfare. Done.
Great. I imagine that sounded awesome. We're going to have our first musical guestpert, and he is going to help us write a song salad and then give you a little bit more of an expert insider look into a certain music genre, which...
And the topic is still going to be random.
Yes.
We're just going to know about the genre in advance and have someone who actually knows what they're doing with it to tell us more about that style of music.
And then we will also play it for him so he can react to it. And hopefully it won't be offensively bad.
Right.
Cool.
So we're really excited about that. And there has been a couple requests from our fans on Twitter to put the isolated songs up online. So I'm going to start doing that, too. I'll create a separate part of our SoundCloud page that has just the songs from every episode individually. So you can listen to those on their own if you're so inclined.
I don't know why you would be.
Hey, the demand is there. So I'm going to create the product.
Oh, my God. Whatever floats your boat, I guess, guys. Okay. Should we get our genre?
Yeah, let's go to moodfuse.com.
All right, Moodfuse, what do you got for us? Oh,
this week, the salad spinner sounds like another suggestion from our loyal listener, Josh.
I'm going to say it's Josh H, because there are a lot of Joshes
Josh
in our
H.
lives.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and so I don't want all the Joshes out there to get confused about which one of you we're talking
all
about.
All them Joshes out there.
All you Joshes. So Josh H, thank you for your suggestion, which is?
Carol Channing eating raspberries. So let's spin the salad spinner.
Ooh, fresh berries.
Chard. Dream pop. Ooh.
What's dream pop?
I don't know, but it sounds really fun.
Okay.
So let's look it up. Dream pop.
I feel like every week I go, what's blubber blur? Like, I'm the biggest
We're like a musical genre infomercial.
We are.
What's that? Well, I'll tell you, Shannon. Dream pop is a subgenre of alternative rock. Not what I expected.
No.
That developed in the 1980s. The style is typified by a preoccupation with atmosphere and texture as much as melody, often resulting in an ethereal or dreamlike sound.
Huh.
It was coined in the late 1980s by Alex Ayuli to describe the music of the band A.R. Kane. So we should definitely look up A.R. Kane.
Totally. Oh my God.
That's so weird.
That's so weird. Read the sentence and then we'll say why it's weird.
So, music of the band A.R. Kane, and later adopted by music critic Simon Reynolds to describe the nascent shoegazing scene in the UK. In the 1990s, dream pop and shoegazing were regionally dependent and interchangeable terms. This is super weird because on Twitter,
we had a new listener who tweeted at us. Zach. Yeah, his name's Zach. We'll give you his Twitter handle. I think it's at Zach the Linguist, who tweeted at us and said that if we ever needed an expert on shoegaze, that we should hit him up.
Yeah.
And then we get shoegaze. How bizarre is that's
awesome.
Also, we definitely don't have time to hit you up, Zach the Linguist, because we have to release this.
If we had waited to do this for another episode. But you know what? I really am interested to hear what you think after this episode at Zach the Linguist. Yeah. So tweet us, see if we did a shoegazing fan proud.
Yes. Cool.
So let's look up a little more information on shoegazing.
Cool. Or dream pop.
Or dream pop.
They're interchangeable and dependent. Or regionally dependent. Oh, whatever.
So dream pop or shoegazing. It's the start of it is really credited... I didn't say that well. The beginnings of dream pop or shoegazing were with the group A.R. Kane in the late 80s, and their album I, which is just a lowercase I, is credited as sort of being one of the first dream pop albums. And here is a song from that album called A Love from Outer Space. She loves me, she loves me, she loves me. Love from outer space. She loves me, she loves me, she loves me.
So I think it's also interesting to talk about shoegazing and why it's called shoegazing.
Yes, please. Tell me, please.
So it was originally meant to be a derogatory term leveled at the bands who were in this dream pop scene because they, during live performances, they would stand still in a detached, introspective, non-confrontational state, often with their heads down. And some of that was because they had a lot of effects pedals on the stage. And so they'd have to look down in order to operate the pedals.
That makes sense.
But then it kind of became like a thing. There would be these cacophonous walls of sound and effects, but the band would essentially be standing still. So shoegazing. There's some pretty vivid descriptions, I feel like, of shoegazing. So there's consistent distortion. There are droning riffs and walls of sound from noisy guitars. And two distorted rhythm guitars are often played together to give an amorphous quality. Vocals were typically subdued in volume and tone, but there was still a strong sense of melody. But lyrics are not emphasized, and nor are vocals. So that will be...
Your work's going to be cut out for you.
Oh, well, that's fine.
So I should mention, too, that the example I just played was, again, from an album that was credited as the start of dream pop. So I think the sound has morphed and changed since then. So the one that I just played, Love from Outer Space, was from 1989. And there are still bands that are called dream pop bands or shoegazing bands today.
Like Imogen Heap, The Cranberries.
The Verve.
The Verve, which was more of the 90s. But there are some other examples.
So another more contemporary example, or at least something with more of the like 90s shoegazing sound is Soon by My Bloody Valentine. So here's that. And you'll notice that it does have similar qualities to the sound of like The Verve or, you know, some of those other 90s rock bands.
So, the decline of shoegaze.
It declined.
It did.
Oh.
Seems to be linked to the increase in popularity of Britpop and grunge music, which were more commercial and maybe more accessible. Shoegazing was also called the scene that celebrates itself, which was a reference to how a lot of the shoegazing groups would go to the other groups' shows.
Gotcha.
But the bands became perceived as overprivileged, self-indulgent, and middle class, which was in contrast to Britpop songs, which were offering intelligible lyrics that were often about being working class. The lyrics were in stark contrast to the sort of vocals as instrument approach of shoegaze, which was often more about the melodic contribution of vocals than their lyrical depth.
Right. So that's, and what we heard in the examples that we've played, it's really just a couple words centering around like the title of the song, usually, that are just kind of extended and repeated as part of a melodic texture in the song.
Cool. So that's good to know that I should be minimal and not deep.
Nope. Opposite of your namesake.
People don't know that.
Nice haircut.
Figure it out, guys.
So should we get our topic?
Yeah, let's get our topic.
All right. Let's go back to Carol to spin the salad spinner.
Raspberry jam.
I prefer strawberries. Oh.
Homolopoma maculatum.
I think that's Latin.
I mean, it is the like genus and species or what? It's the taxonomic name of a species of small sea snail with calcareous opercula.
We'll look that up.
Yep. A marine gastropod mollusk in the family Colonidae.
The shell grows to a size of 3 millimeters.
Oh my God, it's tiny.
So it's an itty bitty sea snail. And it occurs in the Pacific Ocean off the Kuril Islands? Kuril?
Boy, so many words we're bad at today.
Is this Earth? Are those islands on Earth? All right, let's look up all of these things.
Okay.
First of all, what is a calcareous opercula?
Oh, boy, they're
two different words.
It's two different words. Okay.
Calcareous means mostly or partly composed of calcium carbonate, in other words, containing lime or being chalky.
Okay.
Chalky.
Opercula. I'm going to guess that's going to be some kind of shell.
Meaning little lid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a anatomical structure like a trap door, which exists in many groups of sea snails. Oh, it's that little thing covering the hole in the shell.
Yeah.
So, it's a small sea snail with a little thing covering the hole in its shell that's sort of like limestone.
Homolopoma maculatum.
In the family Colonidae.
There's two I's in a row in this word, guys. Family of sea snails, marine gastropods.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
And what was
those
the last
part?
Islands?
Oh, so Japanese?
They're technically in Russia.
Oh.
They form a volcanic archipelago that stretches 810 miles northeast from Hokkaido, Japan to Kamchatka, Russia.
Oh, cool.
Separating the Sea of Okhotsk from the North Pacific Ocean.
Struggle bus today.
56 islands.
And many minor rocks.
How'd you like to get classified as a minor rock when you really, all you wanted to be was an island?
Oh man, it's like Pluto. Yeah. And all the lesser fjords of Greenland that didn't make that list that we did a couple weeks back.
Okay, so our topic is
Homolopoma maculatum.
Maculatum.
Maculatum, maculatum. How do you want to do that?
I mean, if it were like Latin, it would be maculatum.
Maculatum?
Okay. But I don't know if that's what we want.
Yeah, well, we'll sing it like a hymn.
Homolopoma maculatum.
Yep. Great.
All right. So a dream pop shoegazing song about an itty bitty snail.
Homolopoma maculatum.
And peace be with you as well.
Okay. So good thing lyrics aren't important.
Damn it.
No pressure.
Are you just going to use the name, you think?
I don't know. I'm going to look up a bunch of lyrics from some of the bands that we talked about and just see how extensive they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's like a really good kind of like meditative chorus. It's just
yeah,
the name.
For sure.
So many open vowels.
I know.
Feels so good.
We're going to sing those for a long time.
Oh boy.
In a very subdued way.
Yes.
I'm going to start putting my band together. What do you think? Should we have a band name? What should our dream pop band be called? Gastropod?
Gastropod is a great band name.
All right. Coming at you from the band Gastropod. So I was just reading a little bit more about dream pop, and it says the term dream pop relates to the immersion in the music experienced by the listener. So you're having this rapturous or transcendental experience. It says it often uses druggy and mystical imagery. So it's the music puts you into this dream state as you're listening to it. So that's why it was called dream pop.
So it's like the mushrooms of music.
Yeah. So for my band.
Yeah.
Gastropod.
What's up with Gastropod?
Not the Gastropod, just Gastropod. We're going to have two guitars and they're each going to be playing like rhythm parts over each other. So it's going to create that kind of like a wall of guitar sound. And I'm not going to go for like a heavy, noisy sound. It's going to be more of the dreamy sound.
Okay.
So here's what one guitar is playing. And here's what the other guitar is playing. And here's them together. So it's that kind of like constant motion and constant sound mm-hmm. of the guitars. Then we're also going to have bass and drums and a female vocalist named Janet.
Oh boy.
Aren't you psyched?
I feel like this is the part in like the weeks when they figure out that I'm going to be singing, they're like, oh, I guess I'll just skip the rest of this.
No, because they get to hear you like scream a lot usually. But
yeah,
this time they're going to hear you be like really subdued and mellow. And
yeah, it's like dreamy.
You're going to be singing like your own bittersweet symphony about a mollusk.
About a tiny snail. So the lyrics that I looked up a bunch of lyrics by the band My Bloody Valentine, which mm-hmm. was a popular dream pop band. I looked up some lyrics by Slow Dive. I looked up some lyrics by Mojave 3. They all tend to be non-narrative, so it's not like we're moving through a story as the song goes along.
Okay.
They also tend to be repetitive. They don't really seem to have much of a distinct chorus verse bridge structure, but mm-hmm. I'd probably have to listen to the songs more to
sure.
figure that out. And they also tend to be short, or if the song isn't short, there's just fewer lyrics. So it's not like the lyrics are fully fleshing out the entire song.
Right.
There might be a section of the song that just has lyrics, or they might be just repeated over and over. So sometimes the lyrics to an entire song are just like 8 to 10 lines. Yeah, they're definitely a little bit absurd. They tend to incorporate dreamlike elements and things that don't really make sense, but they are very figurative
mm-hmm.
And very vivid and heavy on the imagery.
Cool.
So I'm going to do all that.
So like a psychedelic trip about a mollusk.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And there was also a song that I thought might be about a snail.
Really?
That I found. Yep. It was by My Bloody Valentine. It was called Paint a Rainbow. And if this doesn't sound like a snail, I don't know what else does. But the first lyric is Earthen Trail of Slimy Goo.
Huh.
Right?
I smear it on your cheeks like rouge.
Eyes are red and lips of blue. It's cold and safe inside of you.
Yeah, like climbing up in a snail.
Right?
Climb all up in that snail.
Yeah.
Little drops of shark-infested sea.
Yeah, so maybe it's a sea snail.
So this has already been done. What are we even doing? But My Bloody Valentine beat us to it.
So yeah, I'm going to try to do something right. Not too much like this.
Great.
Okay, so I have lyrics.
Woo!
And they're just like, I don't know, they're like trancy. Like they're like don't have a story to
them.
Did
you like put yourself in a meditative state and think about mollusks?
Yeah, like a little bit. Like I kind of try to imagine what it might be like to be like one of the tiniest little creatures in the sea.
Mm.
Even though actually I'm sure there's an entire like biological ecosystem that's right. Much smaller than 3 millimeters. But yeah. In any case, a little tiny snail in a very, very big place. So here are my lyrics.
Okay.
And then I have some other things that I think could be texture elements. Uh-huh. And so I'll look to you to figure out where we should put those in the song.
Okay.
So the lyrics are very simple. Drift to the nowhere dark. Drift, just a question mark. Silent and secret, silent and secret. Tiny and teeming, teeming and dreaming.
Yeah.
Exactly where you are, exactly where you are, exactly where you are. Homa Paloma. And then
that's great.
Homa, Homa Paloma, Maculata, Maculatum. I don't know, something like that. It kind of becomes like incantation-y.
Sure, yeah.
So we just have to be careful not to summon a demon while we sing it.
A mollusk demon?
A mollusk demon. And then I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know if these could be like in the beginning or at the end, but kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual kingdom, phylum, class, order, blah, 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 is Animalia, Mollusca, I don't know, Gastropoda, Vetigastropoda, Colonidae, Homa Paloma, Maculatum.
Wow. Big name for a small creature.
Yeah. But I don't know. I kind of like the idea of following the chain of life to the very end of this little tiny point that's so little.
Deep.
Exactly where you are.
Exactly where you are.
Homa Paloma.
Teeming and dreaming.
Teeming and dreaming. So I don't know. Just very like dreamlike.
That gives me a lot of ideas. And I think we can record you singing each of these words and each of these like extended vowels. What might be cool actually is to record you just singing them on different pitches that I know fit with the chord structures. Cool. And then we can kind of just like layer them in over each other and over the song and create this kind of like swirling, dreamy texture of your voice of singing these individual words, maybe in the background over the actual text.
Like that. Yeah, that's cool.
And that way the vocal is being used as texture and melody.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So here you have, for the first time and last time ever.
Hopefully.
Do we have a title?
Exactly
Where You Are?
That's a cute title.
It's a good title.
Is that a little too earnest for us?
You know what? Maybe this is the start of a new era for us.
Or... Yeah, all right. Exactly where you are.
Shannon and Dee. Wow. Wow. Shannon and Scott present Gastropod presents
Exactly Where You Are.
Exactly Where You Are.
The Homa Paloma story.
Exactly where you are. Exactly where you are.
Silent and Secret.
I'm like kind of taken with that song.
What do you mean?
Like it makes me feel things a little bit.
Does it put you in a dreamlike, trance-like state almost?
Yeah, like it's a very...
Do you feel immersed in the music?
I feel a little like wistful and yeah. It was just a really sweet little song.
Cool.
We also summoned so many demon snails while
this
we were recording
room is
it.
Full.
Just chock full of slimy
full
of demon
mollusk
snails.
Slime.
Mollusk slime.
Mollusk slime.
I did want to talk about something with the lyrics.
Yeah, please.
Which is a device that I used, two devices, I guess. Consonants and assonance.
Mm-hmm. Who are you calling an assonance?
You.
Continue.
So in the lyrics, silent and secret, you can also call that alliteration because mm-hmm. It is the beginnings of the words, and alliteration can mean any sound that is repeated at the beginning of words, but consonants refers specifically to consonant sounds
right.
in words that are repeated, not necessarily at the beginning. So something like chuckle and fickle and kick have consonants, even though they're not alliterative.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I never knew that difference. That's cool.
And then assonance is in the next two lyrics, tiny and teeming, teeming and dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a similarity or a repetition of the vowel sounds in words.
Teeming, dreaming, yeah.
Yeah, tiny, okay. Teeming, dreaming, that kind of thing.
But you have to say it weird like that. Tiny,
teeny, teeny, teeny.
That's assonance.
Yes.
Cool.
So just a little bit of a, I don't know, poetry lesson for
yeah,
you there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about why we decided to do those repeated vocals and that kind of layering of vocal sounds, and that might not be common to all drift pop or shoegazing, but...
Drift pop?
Drift pop? I was looking at the word drift in your lyrics. Dream pop or shoegazing. But as we were looking at examples of dream pop bands, one of the examples was Imogen Heap, and I love... her music. And
I do too.
I was inspired to do something with like vocal counterpoint.
Yeah, it was
from her.
It was cool. It was like church-like in a way.
It did feel like drifting and, you know, like floating in the sea.
I think we created an atmosphere pretty successfully.
Yeah,
which is like what
I think so
dream
too.
Pop is about.
And I noticed you were gazing at your shoes the entire time you were singing.
I was. So that's why
job.
I couldn't remember the lyrics and I kept messing them up. So that's our song salad for this week.
Thanks for tuning in.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together.
We're Shannon.
And it's Scott. Bye. Sweet dreams.
Home upon
home. 1, 2, 3, 4.